right. Let's begin then, and let's open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the technology that allows me to preach your word despite not being able to be there in person. I pray, Father, that you would continue to heal me so that I may return to my duties. And Lord, I pray that you would have your will and your way in all of this. I thank you for each one who has come. I pray that you would suit a blessing to each heart. I pray that you provide for spiritual needs as well as others. And Lord, we leave it in your hands and look forward to what you have us learn tonight in Christ's name. Amen. All
Amen.
right. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. In fact, I'm going to read for us verses 5 through 38 in just a few moments. But if
Thank
you'll
you.
open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 9, then you can follow along and see as well as hear it read. We're continuing our series on the public and private prayers that are recorded in the Bible. As you may recall, out of the possible 222 recorded prayers, we have examined the four shortest prayers in the Bible. This evening and next Wednesday evening, Lord willing, we are going to the opposite end of the spectrum and examine the longest prayers recorded in the Bible. Nehemiah 9, verses 5 through 38 is the actual longest recorded prayer, made up of 33 verses, but we assume it was a shared prayer in that a number of Levites are listed as praying this long prayer. There really are only two possibilities here. First possibility, they prayed it simultaneously, which would require an actual miracle. And this does not fit the characteristics of miracles recorded in the Bible, nor the principle of doing all things decently and in order in connection with worshiping God. The other possibility is that these men took turns praying a sentence or two at a time, probably without a break, as the Holy Spirit moved each one. Second Chronicles chapter 6, verses 14 through 42 is the second longest prayer, but it is the longest prayer uttered by a single individual. 28 verses in that case. We'll examine this prayer next Wednesday. This evening, we'll look at the prayer recorded for us in Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 5 through 38, and I trust that you have that in front of you now. We've already established that it was very likely a group prayer by eight Levites, where one of them would pray and then the next one would follow in a continuous line until the prayer was ended. So let's examine, first of all, the background to this prayer. In Nehemiah 8, which we won't read for the sake of time, but just keep in mind Nehemiah chapter 8, if we research the time period in Israel's history where this event took place, we find that Israel had been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. We'll see that as a result of this long time in captivity in a foreign land, the vast majority of this generation of Jews were not familiar with the scriptures. If we turn back to Nehemiah chapter 8, we notice that the Jews asked Ezra the priest to read the scriptures to them. We notice as well, comparing verse 3 with verse 8, that there were some Jews who could still understand Hebrew, but others who could not. And these could only understand the Aramaic they learned in Babylon. This is why verse 8 tells us that it was translated for them. They're both Semitic languages, but it's like someone speaking Spanish and not really understanding French too well. So that's about as close as those two languages would be. Upon hearing the scriptures read to them, the Jews began to understand their failure to keep God's law. They began to weep in sorrow over their sins. Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the priest, encourage their people to rejoice and feast instead in response to God's blessings in returning them to their land and enabling them to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They also realized that they had not observed the Feast of Booths, or if you have the King James Version, it's called the Feast of Tabernacles, since Joshua's day. They all agreed to begin to observe it immediately. So 2 days after the completion of the seven-day feast, they all met once again in repentance to fast and confess their sins. The sorrow over the sins of which the reading of God's law had convicted them had been put off during the Feast of Booths, but now returned to their hearts in full force. The Levites now called the people to gather around the platform before they began their prayer. Arise, bless the Lord your God forever and ever, it begins. With that call to worship, the Levites began their prayer. Let's examine, secondly, the prayer itself. You'll notice that the majority of the prayer here in Nehemiah chapter 9 is their review of their history and God's dealings with them as a nation. And that's from verse 5 all the way through verse 37. So would you follow along in your Bible as I read aloud for us, Nehemiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 5. Then the Levites, Yeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabneah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah said, arise, bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Okay, let's see. Let's mute. Okay, there we go. I think we're good now. Arise, bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Oh, may your glorious name be blessed and exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. You are the Lord God who chose Abram and brought him out from Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made a covenant with him to give him the land of the Canaanite, of the Hittite and the Amorite, of the Perizzite, the Jebusite and the Girgashite, to give it to his descendants. And you have fulfilled your promise, for you are righteous. You saw the affliction of our fathers in Egypt and heard their cry by the Red Sea. Then you performed signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against all his servants and all the people of his land, for you knew that they acted arrogantly toward them and made a name for yourself as it is this day. You divided the sea before them, so they passed through the midst of the sea on dry ground. And their pursuers you hurled into the depths like a stone into raging waters. And with a pillar of cloud you led them by day, and with a pillar of fire by night, to light for them the way in which they were to go. Then you came down on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven. You gave them just ordinances and true laws, good statutes and commandments. So you made known to them your holy Sabbath and laid down for them commandments, statutes, and law through your servant Moses. You provided bread from heaven for them for their hunger. You brought forth water from a rock for them for their thirst. And you told them to enter in order to possess the land which you swore to give them. But they, our fathers, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to your commandments. They refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. even when they made for themselves a calf of molten metal and said, "This is your God who brought you up from Egypt," and committed great blasphemies. You, in your great compassion, did not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. Your manna you did not withhold from their mouth, and you gave them water for their thirst. Indeed, 40 years you provided for them in the wilderness, and they were not in want. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet swell. You also gave them kingdoms and peoples, and allotted them to them as a boundary. They took possession of the land of Zion, the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, the king of Bashan. You made their sons numerous as the stars of heaven, and you brought them into the land which you had told their fathers to enter and possess. So their sons entered and possessed the land. And you subdued before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and you gave them into their hand, with their kings and the peoples of the land, to do with them as they desired. They captured fortified cities and a fertile land. They took possession of houses full of every good thing, hewn cisterns, vineyards, olive groves, fruit trees in abundance. So they ate, were filled, and grew fat, and reveled in your great goodness. But they became disobedient and rebelled against you, and cast your law behind their backs, and killed your prophets who had admonished them so that they might return to you, and they committed great blasphemies. Therefore, you delivered them into the hand of their oppressors who oppressed them. But when they cried to you in the time of their distress, you heard from heaven, and according to your great compassion, you gave them deliverers who delivered them from the hand of their oppressors. But as soon as they had rest, they did evil again before you. Therefore, you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies, so that they ruled over them. When they cried again to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you rescued them according to your compassion, and admonished them in order to turn them back to your law. Yet they acted arrogantly and did not listen to your commandments, but sinned against your ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he shall live. And they turned a stubborn shoulder and stiffened their neck and would not listen. However, you bore with them for many years and admonished them by your spirit through your prophets. Yet they would not give ear. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great compassion, you did not make an end of them or forsake them, for you are a gracious and compassionate God. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who keeps covenant and loving kindness, do not let all the hardship seem insignificant before you, which has come upon us, our kings, our princes, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, and on all your people from the days of the kings of Assyria to this day. However, you are just in all that has come upon us. For you have dealt faithfully, but we have acted wickedly. For our kings, our leaders, our priests, and our fathers have not kept your law or paid attention to your commandments and your admonitions with which you have admonished them. But they, in their own kingdom, with your great goodness which you gave them, with the broad and rich land which you set before them, did not serve you or turn from their evil deeds. Behold, we are slaves today, and as to the land which you gave to our fathers to eat of its fruit and its bounty, behold, we are slaves in it. Its abundant produce is for the kings whom you have set over us because of our sins. They also rule over our bodies and over our cattle as they please, so we are in great distress. Now, because of all this, we are making an agreement in writing. And on the sealed document are the names of our leaders, our Levites, and our priests. Why did they include this review in their prayer? Was this just filler to increase the length of the prayer because they figured God deserved nice long prayers? No, I believe they understood how easy it is for us to forget both our sins against God and his mercy and goodness to us. You cannot confess your sins to God and receive his forgiveness if you cannot remember where you disobeyed and failed him. You cannot request God's help if you aren't aware of your need. In fact, notice verse 37. You cannot worship God if you can't remember his greatness and goodness. No, indeed, this review part of the prayer was not empty filler. It was a vital preparation for what naturally led to the next part. Although it was a very small part of this prayer, lengthwise, only one verse, a very important part of this prayer was their resolve. Look at verse 38. We get a summary of the content of this resolution in the second half of Nehemiah chapter 10. But I believe what the Levites included in their prayer here was the firmness of their resolve and the fervency of their commitment to the Lord. If you take the time to read Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 28 through 39, you'll notice that they committed to walk in God's law and to observe all his commandments. Look at verse 29. To keep themselves separate from the pagans around them and to support by their tithes and offerings the work of the Lord and the maintenance of the house of God. You see that in verses 32 through verse 39. So, is this longest prayer a model prayer that covers all the bases? No, of course not. But it includes two elements that we often neglect in our prayer life: review and resolve. We can definitely learn a great lesson from this prayer if we're willing to see it and put it into practice in our prayer life. May we take time to review God's greatness and goodness, review our sins and confess them honestly and thoroughly, and resolve to obey God in everything. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this recorded prayer that helps us to see the importance of reviewing not only God's greatness and goodness, but also our own sinfulness and our need for forgiveness. Father, I pray that as we also realize that at the end of this prayer was a resolve, may we also realize that we need to do something about what we've reviewed. We need to do something about what has been brought to our remembrance. And Lord, I pray that we would always act on what we know. Lord, may we not be like James says in his epistle, as looking in a mirror and then forgetting what manner of man or woman we are. But Lord, may we look carefully and remember and do something about what we see in the mirror of God's word. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we share prayer requests and praise points together as a church family. And may you be with us as we pray and bring them before you as a family. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.